Welcome, everyone, to RB1 Colon, a fantasy football podcast, part of the Fake Teams podcast channel. I am your humble host. Once conducted the now completely dead Devin Fungicide train, rom-com aficionado said Christian McCaffrey would go 1,000 before it was cool. Worshipper of the now healthy N'Keal Harry and Damian Harris truther, the married one Pete Rogers. And I am joined by all of the guys. We got DK Metcalf, number one admirer, doubter of Juju Smith-Schuster, proponent for a line of Jon Snow hair products. You heard it here first. Resident old man Clark Barnes. El Saboteur! Proud father Quentin Nelson, WNBA hot take machine, the man who boldly said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will make the playoffs this year, Coach Whisperer, the wine sipperer, the Will Disleyer, Jordan Smith, and finally, the biggest 49ers fan you know, Arya Stark is a spirit animal, don't take him to Vegas, the only man who hates Larry Fitzgerald, and a fan of what scientists lovingly call facts, the ginger normal man, Nick Butterford. Guys, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Pete.
Pretty okay.
Jordan, do you have the? Are you having the willies because the packs are about to start, or are you feeling pretty confident?
I feel relatively okay because it's a home game, So I feel like they'll try their best, and that's all that counts.
And that's all that matters. People who are listening to this podcast can, since they already know what happens, can judge whether or not Jordan will actually be really happy at the end of this show or really sad at the end of the show. We'll see. Time will tell. I am in a house of Packers fans currently, as Becca's mom is out visiting for the long weekend. So that is why we are trying to make this a quick and condensed podcast, because Pete's got, you know, son-in-law duties to partake in and to do. And we're going to watch the Packers game. So we're going to hit the news. We're going to give some waiver wire targets, and then we're going to get it out of here. Short, sweet, and simple. And because we're a news-centric podcast this week, we have a very special guest. The news will be brought to you this week by the punny newscaster, Clark Burns. Clark Burns, start us off with the first news bulletin of the day.
Dismissed. Will Disley out for the season with an Achilles tear. I would like to comment up front that making light of injuries is not the intent of this broadcast. It's just, you know, funnier, in a funny voice.
Puns are encouraged. Yes, Will Disley did injure his Achilles and is presumed out for the rest of the season. Jordan, this obviously hits close to home for you, since Will Disley, you are the Will Disleyer, and he was one of your best calls of the year. What is your current state of emotional frailty right now?
Well, it's incredibly sad. You just hate to see a good player go down and miss an entire season again. You hate to say that at least it's not like a similar knee injury as last year, so then you might have some concerns about the state of his knees just generally. But hopefully he gets back on the field in short time next season. From a fantasy perspective, it sucks because he was probably not a guy you drafted in standard redraft or auction leagues, and you ended up being able to grab him and he slotted in and, you know, gave you tight end number five production. It's one of those smile while it happens sort of things, because hopefully he helped you get a couple W's in the short time that you were playing him.
Nick, you're our, although a 49ers fan, our Seahawks insider. I feel like most people would just expect, right, that Luke Wilson is the guy now to target, given the fact that he is the now starting tight end for Seattle. Personally, I don't feel that way. Do you see that the targets will shift over to Luke Wilson, or will they be more spread out now amongst the receiver base?
I think it's an interesting thing to consider, but Luke Wilson's already had his time in Seattle and really couldn't get anything going as far as like fantasy impact would go. I'd find it unlikely, but if, you know, you are like everybody who doesn't own like Kittle and, you know, the gang,
really just Kittle.
I guess you could do worse. Yeah, right. You could probably
draft
be worse.
Tight end early crowd was right. It was one of the few things I've been right about, and I would like to remember it.
Don't let that narrative die.
So anyway, I mean, you could probably stash him on your bench. I think he clocked like a 4.3 or something outrageous at the combine. He's an athletic specimen, but he didn't get it done when he was here previously. The only thing was they weren't really incorporating a tight end as a focal point of the red zone offense at that point in time. They didn't figure that out until they finally gave up on trying to make Jimmy Graham block. So it'd probably be worth it to add him to a bench, but I'm not going to like target him by any means early in waivers.
Hopefully you're like me and you just had Hunter Henry waiting to come back, and boy, did he come back.
Boy, did he come back. Clark, take us to the next bulletin.
Mario Tata, the Titans to try Tannehill?
The Titans benched Marcus Mariota, seemingly signaling the kind of end of their marriage, especially since Mariota is due for a contract. His rookie deal is up at the end of this year, so it's kind of like, well, they seem to be out with him. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill is not exactly who you want to be starting, but Clark, how much faith do you have in anyone in this Titans offense now that, I mean, I granted I'm going to the wrong person here since you as a Texans fan have no faith in them to begin with, but
I think Ryan Tannehill is a little bit better of a quarterback than Marcus Mariota. I think we're really splitting hairs, but I think he is better. So it'll be interesting to see what we see from Tennessee.
Mm. Wow. You can't stop. It's coming out of you now. Yeah. I would love to see at least this be some sort of uptick in like Corey Davis and AJ Brown. Like, those guys are so talented, and it sucks that they are trapped in an offense that really doesn't have a quarterback who can get them the ball reliably, and an offensive line that all of a sudden has become really bad despite the fact being really good last year and in years past. So who knows?
Well, Taylor Lewan got popped for cheating, and now he's having a hard time. I wonder why that is.
There you go, kids. Ooh. It does not pay to cheat. That's the message that you should take.
Get caught.
Yes, that was the point I was making.
There it is. Nick's got it. Nick knows what's up.
The comparison between the two of them is really interesting because Mariota's ceiling is obviously a lot higher with his with his athletic ability. I say that, and the Bennett brothers somewhere are getting upset with me. They anointed him the most athletic person who went to their high school, but Tannehill, that is. But I think he might be able to move the offense in a way that Mariota couldn't, in just being like perhaps a little more accurate in the short to intermediate area of the field. Are you guys trying to add him?
No, I'm not trying to add Ryan Tannehill. No, I mean, there's other quarterbacks out there who are much worth the add. My worry is just that the pass offense has already been so stagnant. And again, this offensive line has been crippled, or we haven't really seen them at their best. Derrick Henry is basically turning into Trent Richardson in the AFL, where he averages 2.5 yards per carry, but 13 touchdowns. So that's great numbers. But I'm very worried that now all of a sudden everyone on the Titans, Derrick Henry, Delanie Walker, Corey Davis, who you probably have already dropped, but AJ Brown, like all of those guys suddenly have just really no fantasy value.
The only thing this is making me do is I will watch this week to see if there's a favored wide receiver to maybe consider picking him up. And that's why I say that we're really splitting hairs with who's a better quarterback. Again, I think Tannehill's better, but not enough to add or even think about it.
Yeah.
I saw the most perfect tweet about Marcus Mariota today. I don't know if you guys got this retweeted to your timeline.
Oh, that was Slack I typed the funny title in. That wasn't on Twitter.
But you're right. So I can't credit who actually tweeted this, but they said, Jameis Winston takes too many threes and Marcus Mariota misses too many layups. That's exactly how I feel about Marcus Mariota. And I think if Tannehill can, you know, make some more of the easier throws that Marcus Mariota just can't, then these guys just have better value by target. You know, we just got to figure out who might be his favorite target, because that I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyone have any premonitions about where Mariota will end up next year?
Not really. I thought the Ringer guys were talking about how funny it would be if Winston and Mariota switched places.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it would be fun to see Mariota actually be able to work with a supposed quarterback whisperer.
I think this has also got lost under the radar, is that Mariota has been in the league for, what, 4 years now? And he's had 5 different offensive coordinators. And so, like, obviously he has his own things to work through, but it also doesn't help when you're learning a new playbook every year.
Yeah, it's 5 years with 4 coordinators, but anything over 1 is challenging.
Right.
I've got one that I think would be Yeah, I think Chicago is good. Would you rather have Blake Bortles as your backup or Marcus Mariota in Los Angeles? And if you're Marcus Mariota, wouldn't you like to go somewhere that's probably going to have the same coach for a few years?
Yeah, that's LA is not, especially with everyone kind of turning quickly on Jared Goff. I mean, Sean McVay has to show that he is not the problem there, but that would be exciting.
How tall is Mariota? Does John Elway want him?
He's not tall enough.
The Broncos are always looking for a new $25 million a year quarterback.
Yeah, he's got to duck through a doorway. Elway sees it and just kind of goes,
oh, God. All right, Clark, next bulletin.
Diggs dug the end zone on Sunday, hitting pay dirt twice. Is this a new thing in Minnesota?
Hitting pay dirt thrice. Stephon Diggs scoring three touchdowns. Kirk Cousins looking like a $80 million quarterback all of a sudden, throwing for 300-plus yards as the Vikings picked apart the Eagles secondary. Yeah, what is up with Stephon Diggs? Jordan, what is your vibe as NFC? I'm picking just the right people to talk about these topics off the gate. What is your vibe? Because Stephon Diggs has been a receiver who anyone who's had him has had a very negative relationship so far this season, and likely his performance was done helped not a lot of people given the fact that he was probably on most people's benches. But do you think that this is something that can sustain moving forward?
Well, Stephon Diggs had a pretty good day, and so did Adam Thielen. Actually had a pretty decent day himself, but my first instinct is to be like, well, like, this is the Eagles secondary and they can just get carved up by a lot of good to great NFL quarterbacks. I still think Kirk Cousins is good. I've never really thought like, oh, why don't they just cut bait with Kirk Cousins now and save themselves the hassle? Like, that'd be the dumbest thing in the world to do. He's still a pretty decent quarterback. And Stephon Diggs he's always somebody that I feel like you should have in your starting lineup as like a wide receiver two or a flex, because I think his ceiling is just too high to gamble with putting him on the bench. Even if he's had some pretty down weeks earlier in the season, I think it's something that they just, I mean, look at how well they played yesterday. They looked better when they threw the ball. They looked better when they've thrown the ball to Adam Thielen as well. So hopefully that coaching staff has finally taken the hint.
Nick, are they still donkey doo-doos?
No, so this is – so it's important when these things happen to try to figure out why it happened and not just be like, I told you Diggs was good. And so what – I mean, even – so I've only started to look into this a little bit, and I'm not sure what the slot snap share was between Diggs and Thielen, but three of their four combined touchdowns all came within the first 16 minutes of the game. Over 110 of Diggs' yards came early. They I know that they were also throwing on first and second down, and they were running play action at a high rate in the process. These are all things that forward-thinking offices like to do. Ironically, this is something that John DeFilippo led the league in last year, their former offensive coordinator. So they go back to what he was trying to implement, and their offense looks phenomenal. Kirk Cousins looks awesome. And so much of their early season issues was just coaching. It's you're running a scheme that doesn't help your players, and whether your players are like good or bad doesn't really matter that much. A good system can really change the outcome of games. So anyway, the way that they use these guys was phenomenal. I did say on the rundown, they have a decent chance in this one to get things going, especially given the matchup. Personally, I'm not going to bank on Stefanski and Zimmer changing their lifelong philosophies. Or Stefanski, I know he's kind of like, I'm a yes man. I'll do whatever is asked of me. But Kenny Golladay just, oh, my God.
Is this game already Golladay started?
He just had like an 80-yard reception and almost fumbled at the end of it. But
I need T.J. Hockenson to get me 4 points.
Okay, well, not there yet. But anyway, I'm not going to bet on the coaches sticking with the smart decision-making that they showed this week, because they haven't shown that for a long time. Personally, I would sell on Stephon Diggs. But if you want to stay with them and see what happens, if they're going to change their play calling, I get it. You know, you use early round picks. And I would have sold Thielen a long time ago, and I would have missed out on all the points scored. So, you know, realize who's telling you to do this.
Shout out to all these people who kept Diggs on your team and were able to benefit from that. Because that's
if you kept him for the right reasons.
That's commitment.
If it was just I believe in the Vikings, then go back to the drawing board, champ.
Yeah, I think if you could sell, you should. And I'm just looking at the wide receiver ranks right now, and there's some really odd names that I would love to get for Stephon Diggs, because I don't think that this offense is going to consistently do enough in the passing game to support two wide receivers. There will be a handful of games where Stephon Diggs has great games, and then there will be a handful of games where Stephon Diggs gets you 2.3 points in your starting lineup and just crushes you. I would love to get Terry McLaurin for Stephon Diggs. I would love to get your boy, Cortland Sutton, for Stephon Diggs, Tyler Lockett. These are all guys. McLaurin's number 8, but a new name that I think you might be able to get for Stephon Diggs. But everybody else is under him. Calvin Ridley, Julian Edelman, DeAndre Hopkins. You'd never trade Hopkins. But nah. Yeah, so if someone is the I told you so, Stephon Diggs is good guy, and they make you an offer, I would negotiate real hard. Not because I don't think Stephon Diggs is good, but just because, Thielen had a good day, but usually it's just one of these guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to ride that roller coaster.
No, that's fair. Another news bulletin. Clock burns.
It's easier just to have you do all this. That darn old cat returns to the Jets.
Sam Darnold's spleen managed to survive the weekend as the Jets took down the Dallas Cowboys, which, of course, Clark loved, because anytime the Cowboys lose, Clark's a happy man. He looked good. Sam Darnold looked good. The Jets' offense is alive and well. Robbie Anderson is now a legit deep threat again, and Jamison Crowder is getting 7 billion targets. Nick, how much are you buying into the Jets' offense moving forward from a fantasy standpoint now that Sam Darnold is back and his spleen seems to be not so large?
I am interested in it. Do you guys – I'm unfamiliar with how many plays they ran. I would be really curious to see. I don't have that number. I don't know if you guys do. But I'd be very curious to see
Stats if Gase info is able on to get
– okay, cool. I'd be very curious to see if Gase is able to get the tempo kicked up a notch with Darnold back. I am interested in acquiring Jets players, but the upcoming – well, so this week, they've got to go face New England. So it's going to be a bumpy ride, and I don't know if I'd try to acquire them coming off such a hot performance against Dallas. I might try to wait until this next week, because after that, they get Jacksonville, which is not a defense we worry about anymore, Miami, New York Giants, Washington, Oakland, Cincinnati, Miami, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Like, that's a phenomenal schedule. So I guess, hey, I guess try to go get yourself some Jets, but next week it might be a little bit easier.
Yeah, I would say that with Sam Darnold, even if like the Jets aren't good, as long as Sam Darnold can take care of the football, he's a good candidate to get you some nice witching hour points, because they might have to end up throwing a lot, and they already have Le'Veon Bell, so it's part of their game plan. It behooves them to toss the ball a lot, and Jamison Crowder, value, back up.
Yeah, I think Bell might be a target. Nick, to your point, he didn't have a great game. He looked okay, and that owner may be frustrated. So I think he's worth picking up because the whole offense is getting better. I'm excited that Robbie Anderson got the run that a lot of people, me, were hoping that he would get. And I think that this is going to be a tale of two cities with Darnold back at the helm for the Jets. This doesn't make them a great team, but they are once again fantasy viable.
Yeah. Yep. And we might touch on them when we talk waiver wire ads. Clark, final news bulletin.
Oh, Henry. Hunter Henry returns to get 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
The Chargers looked completely lost, but Hunter Henry was not lost in the Chargers offense, looking all what was promised to us at the tight end position. And that position is widely known as being completely barren. We all know that there's not a lot of fantasy viable guys. If for whatever reason Hunter Henry is available in your league, or you are like Jordan and have been patient and stashed him and waited for him to return from injury, you're sitting pretty right now and you should definitely go get him. He has been, anytime he's been healthy, he's been a go-to guy for Phillip Rivers, especially around the red zone. We know what the Chargers can do with their tight ends in scoring touchdowns. And so I don't expect this performance that we saw from Hunter Henry to be a fluke by any stretch of the imagination. And so now is the time to get him if you can, because he's about to take off and reestablish himself as one of the best young tight ends in the league, as long as he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I think that's the key right there. The only thing that's stopping Hunter Henry at this point is his health. You hope that he can stay healthy throughout the rest of the season. I was not expecting him to come back and just produce like he did right away in the first game. I thought maybe he'd be on a pretty heavy snap count. Maybe he'd get out there just to, you know, get the legs warm a little bit. But they were just like, well,
they
first
threw
of all,
him
they
in the deep
him
in right, game. Right. Well, first of all, they sucked.
Yeah, first things first, they were awful. But yeah, Hunter Henry, hopefully he can keep it up, because the fantasy world needs tight ends.
Amen.
I'm a little bit worried that this hurts the value of the already shaky running back duo here. He's a monster in the red zone, and they are hell-bent on giving the sloth-like Melvin Gordon more touches right now. They're kind of just taking the offense off the rails.
They seem to be trying to do an organic tank, like what the Dolphins are. They just all of a sudden they just have seemed to just like they've been ignoring Keenan Allen. Austin Eckler suddenly is no longer a part of their game, and they're like, hey, we're gonna run with Melvin Gordon 1500 billion times, and we're gonna throw the football to our tight end. And Hunter Henry worked it. But like, what happened? How did you turn Keenan Allen from like the best wide receiver in football to just this afterthought?
So this is kind of, we've talked about this before. They're one of the few remaining teams that just doesn't like utilize that analytics very much. They don't have a department. So crazy. Taking away their bell cow just to sort of help them luck into going, I guess we'll use the other pieces. He's back now, and they're just going to use him uncreatively. Eckler should be the lead back at this point. But anyway, trust the science nerds, you guys. They know what they're talking about.
It's like the Bill Simmons Ewing theory. They were forced to just kind of play better, and they were out of their own way when they didn't have Melvin Gordon.
So there you go. There's the news. Thank you to the punny newscaster, Clark Burns, for announcing the news and guiding us through this early little segment. Before we get into fantasy MVPs for week 6 and week 7 waiver wire ads, we are going to take a quick ad break. All right, we are back, and we're going to quickly, before we hit waiver wire ads, we are going to quickly give our week 6 fantasy MVPs. Now, I said this to our social media client communicator thing that we use to talk to each other. Since my mother-in-law is in town, I basically took Sunday off from football, so I don't really know what happens. I'm just kind of going off of what the narrative has been shared to me as to who my MVP is. But we'll start with you, Clark. Who is your MVP for week 6 of fantasy football?
My MVP selfishly is Robbie Anderson, who I chose to start over Josh Gordon, and I have just been floating on that one since Sunday evening.
The most valuable player in fantasy football last week, yeah. Robbie Anderson. Yeah, that's I buy me. It. It's for you.
It's my vote. It's my vote, my choice, Pete.
That's fair.
Hashtag Jordan, 2020.
Who's your MVP for week 6?
So my week 6 MVP is Deshaun Watson. He's been on fire the past 2 weeks, and especially yesterday, he was the running quarterback cheat code in that he scored 2 rushing touchdowns and 42 yards on just 10 attempts running the ball, which is pretty dang good for a quarterback, I would say. And part of that has to do with the fact that he would also have had just a much larger day if his receivers could catch the ball.
Yeah, because Will Fuller dropped 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, there's 3 dropped touchdowns, and yeah.
Yeah,
Deshaun Watson heating up.
Yep, he's my MVP for the week too, because not only did he get you a boatload, he was the best quarterback in fantasy this week, he also took down Patrick Mahomes rating NFL MVP and has cemented himself now as the best young quarterback in the league. Patrick Mahomes can go suck it.
I think Russell Wilson kind of edged him out there, to be
honest. Well, Russell Wilson is old, Nick.
Watson actually, I think he lost 4 TDs. Hopkins dropped 1 and Fuller dropped 3.
There was all kinds of, it was a rough outing, and yet he still managed to put up like 30 plus points.
I'm obviously really happy that the Texans won, but that game was an absolute shit show. That game was terrible.
Oh,
there was a penalty like every other play until the third quarter. Will Fuller forgot how to catch. The defensive backs were holding everyone. There were two extremely obvious pass interference calls, which is stupid that we're reviewing them, but if you're going to review them, don't be an ass about it. It's that game. They're snatching entertainment away from, I can't think of a good phrase. They're finding a way to ruin the NFL, and that game is a great example. That game should have been awesome, and it was just a shit show.
Nick, who's your MVP for the week?
I'm staying on brand and tipping my cap to you, Pete. My MVP is Matt Ryan. He went 30 of 36 yards, and he did what Pete so elegantly brought into artistic life. He cleared 300 yards. We talked about this in the rankings. We talked about this in the rundown. Pete talked about it through a beautiful medium of crossover artwork on Twitter. he cleared 300 yards again. This is the he's done it in every game this season. He had four touchdowns, no turnovers. He added a lovely 7 yards on the ground. The dude is on fire, even though the team is also on fire, but in a different kind of
way. In a negative way, in the house burning way.
Yeah. Matt Ryan, man, late round QBs.
I'm freaking out. Our Halloween costumes just arrived, and Becca's getting very excited and trying it on right now. We got them shipped from China.
Do you want us to ask what they are, Pete?
Yeah, I would like you. I mean, I did lead. Give you a big opening right there for you guys to ask
what are you
being? No, I don't know you. I know you don't care now, Nick. We are going as Steve and Robin from Stranger Things season 2 when in their Ahoy costumes when they work at the ice cream bar in the mall. Nice. For those who have seen Stranger Things 2. So
I don't remember that, but I was going to have long hair and a beard so I could be Tormund, and then
You didn't.
Season 8 crapped the bed and I said, fuck this. I'm not going to do this shit.
All right, quickly, let's wrap this up. Week 7, waiver wire targets. If you've got multiple, let's throw out multiple. Normally, we just say, if you got one, who are you adding? But since, you know, we got plenty of time and the show is a shorter one, we'll say, if you got two, you got a couple, throw them out. We'll start with myself. You know, I tend to pass the first roll around, but you know, I'm going to take the responsibility of starting us off. I think the guy you get is, we talked about him, the Jets offense is back, and I'm buying Jameson Crowder again. Since Sam Darnold has been the starting quarterback. Yes, I took it right out from under Jordan. With Sam Darnold as the starting quarterback, he saw 17 targets obviously in week 1, and he saw 9 targets this past Sunday. I just think that he's already and going to be Sam Darnold's go-to guy in terms of getting the ball out of his hand quick. I think regardless of the fact that they are going to be playing the Patriots, that he still has value. We saw Golden Tate. Yes, it was kind of a fluke touchdown play that Golden Tate managed to score on against the Patriots, but we still saw that they were giving him the underneath stuff. And I think that's where Jameson Crowder is going to work and operate. And so if you play in a PPR league, he is a must-own.
Totally agree. Yeah. His target share went up to 9 targets yesterday just with Sam Darnold coming back. And I think a lot of people might have dropped him just in the subsequent weeks that Darnold was out. So good chance to grab him.
He's at 42% owned in Yahoo. So there's, you know, you got a coin toss.
Right, right. If he's available, you got to get him. Jordan, I know I took your guy, but do you have another man to go add off waivers?
Just a quick backup. I kind of had an eye on this game, the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe take a flyer on Chase Edmonds. See if you can add him to your bench if you're in a deeper league. Only 22% owned in ESPN leagues. And he's got double-digit points the past couple weeks. David Johnson has been playing, but he's been nursing a back injury. So if that starts to flare up again, there's a solid chance that Chase Edmonds could be the feature guy. And even if he's not, he's factoring pretty well into that offense. He's getting involved in some passing stuff, and the broadcast said they really like him. So
there you go. What more do you need? And that offense is starting to finally kind of get going. I mean, the Falcons is the cure-all for any offense that's ailing, but they seem to be starting to get everything back into place and being able to do things productively. Clark, who's the guy you're going to add off waivers?
So we've got two from the same game. First, pat ourselves on the back last week for being completely right that Darren Fells was a good desperation play. He got 69 yards, which I know isn't an offensive explosion, but in the league bereft of tight end talent, that was a very solid play. You probably outperformed your opponent.
It's a nice amount of yards.
Yeah. I found several. Anyway, I mean, I'll distract you, Pete. The tight ends are involved in the Texans offense. They're throwing them out there to help with blocking, and people are forgetting about them, and they're getting open in pass coverage. Jordan Akins also had an okay game, but it does look like Darren Fells is more of the offensive weapon. Same game, only 16% owned. We watched the Texans get torched yesterday with screen passes and misdirection plays out of the backfield, so I think Nyheim Hines, even though he's a clear second fiddle, is a nice desperation play as a flex if you're really hurting for someone. He's 16% owned, and you could do a lot worse than throwing him in this week against the Texans.
Nicholas, who you adding?
Well, I had some of the same guys on my list, Crowder and Edmonds. And I mean, Edmonds, he's starting to come into like flex consideration on his own. He's got double digits back-to-back weeks. But we talked about him previously, Chris Herndon. He's at 27% owned in Yahoo. I'm kind of wondering if he's actually going to be able to come back this week. The team activated him. They cut somebody and activated him a couple hours ago. So if you need a tight end,
up to the minute news coming from Nick Botiford.
Up to the minute within a few hours.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, no, he's with Darnold back. He is in serious contention every week to be a like top 5 to 8 option. And, that's awesome. So yeah, go get yourself some Chris Herndon.
Yeah.
And again, we were all excited about Hunter Henry and we were right about him. Another H named tight end is just waiting to burst onto the scene.
I mean, what more can you ask for from us? We're just giving you prime knowledge. The last guy who I think you should go add off waivers, Jordan, I know I took your guy, Jamison Crowder, but I wanted to throw you a bone here and give you some love and appreciation. Jacoby Myers, man, it's Jacoby Myers season in New England. Josh Gordon got injured against the Giants. Who knows? We haven't heard anything confirming what exactly his injury status is, but it's not great. Julian Edelman's been banged up, and we saw Jacoby Myers coming into that Giants game. He had 4 targets, 4 receptions for 54 yards. I think we know what he's flashed a lot in the preseason, and I think he could be someone who steps into this Patriots offense in the next couple of weeks and starts to seeing a pretty heavy workload. And maybe that'll change, obviously, but I think he's owned in like 1% of leagues. So if you want a flyer to throw at, you know, he's the guy to go get.
Yeah, I hope he's starting to pick up a little bit of a connection with Tom Brady. I know that was a little bit of an issue early on and why he was kind of not really utilized after being a preseason darling. So Jacoby Myers, it'd be great to get some good action out of him.
Yeah. And N'Keal Harry's coming back, baby. Oh, your boy excited. All right. Well, there you go. News, waiver wires, I got to get back to being the greatest son-in-law.
Enjoy those cheese curds.
Oh, you got to love it when the pack – what is the score currently? Is the pack down?
There's nothing like noisy cheese. It's the best cheese.
Any cheese that makes a lot of noise is the only cheese for me. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe everywhere you can get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Leave us a review. Give us 5 stars. We appreciate it and all the nice things you have to say. If you leave a question in the comments, we'll make sure to answer it. So drop it in when you leave a review. Follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at Pete M. Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark. Follow Jordan at Jordan_Smith27 and Nick at Ginger_Nick without a K. We'll be back at you Thursday to talk week 7 starts and sits. Until then, peace.